Hey, rock stars! Welcome to the guest tutorial with my friend and coach, Carrie Ann Livingston. Did I say your last name right again? I feel like I do this every time. I'm like, maybe I just need to write this out. This is Daring to Feel, Bless the Mess, and Trust the Process of Self-Expression. Welcome.
Thank you. And it's stone or stun. I mean, I don't know if I'm betraying my husband's heritage by mispronouncing it, but I just say go with whatever you want.
Cool. Okay, good. Yay. So talk to me. Talk to me about... What does it mean to dare to feel?
Well, it stems from a process that I've lived and honed over the last, I think it's 8 years now that it all sort of went down, and even before that, which is daring to suck. So that's, you know, that's sort of the name of my business and a process that I help move my clients through. So it's an element of it. It's one piece. And daring to suck is really about arming ourselves with the permission to try things that light us up, you know, even if we might suck at it, to actually live on purpose. And that's how it all began. So there's almost like this history of it. So, you know, it's about tuning in, it's about speaking up and basically transcending the limiting bullshit or beautiful bullshit is also what I call it. Because it's not all bad. It's just stuff that kind of gets in our way of being the fullest, truest expression of ourselves. And there's steps to it. So the daring to feel step is what we're going to talk about today. And I think it's one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves in supporting a fulfilled life. And it really is a place that I go to unblock and to clear out the gunk and the energy that I'm moving through and don't need anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So in the program, like, we're talking about, you know, like, fully expressing emotions and like feeling them, and how that, you know, when you get stuck, or like when things are blocked, when we have this like very limited, restricted, like kind of emotional state or being, we turn that inwards on ourselves. It shows up as like body shame, and we direct it towards ourselves, and we use things like dieting to cope with that. So, just to give you context of like where this fits in the scope of the program, like, I mean, I think it's like the most perfect fit, because what we're doing in this whole program is really trying to live more fully and like authentically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, gosh, it's such a big conversation to squeeze into 30 minutes. So let's can we first give ourselves permission to not do it all in 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like opening up Pandora's box. I mean, because the daring to feel is the umbrella, but there's so much to it. Like, there's so many moving parts in us. We're like this incredible kaleidoscope of characters. Which I want to help people see and be with. Like, we're not just one thing. And I've learned that over the last 8 years, but it's been through a lot of growthy type experiences, which, by the way, are awful. Like, they, on the surface, they're like loss and, major adversity, whether it's been inside of myself or outside of myself. You know, my story, as you know, it's like there was a period of time over 5 years that I lost a child. I lost like my first pregnancy. I lost my job. I lost six figures in all of our money in the economic downturn. I lost. And I also gained things too. But I gained a family. I had my sons, and that was, so there's like, it wasn't just all in the losses. It was also in the gains of being stretched, of being changed. It's like being in this washing machine of life that we can be in. And it comes down to the willingness to be with all of it and not just compartmentalize parts and be like, well, you go there because you're not really savory. I don't really want to deal with you. Call it shame, like you said, about how you feel about yourself. And we end up basically trying to live our lives while fighting this off. Mm-hmm. We fight it. And, you know, it's like denying a part of ourself.
Right.
And I feel like in the work that I do, I feel like this crazy advocate, this maybe unexpected advocate for your parts, which sounds a little weird to say. But yeah, it's about radical self-acceptance.
Yeah. And so talk to me about these parts, you know, like I know there's obviously parts that the parts we tend to skip over are the dark ones or the parts we want to fix and get through most the quickest. So why is it important to lean into those parts?
Oh my God. It's like, you know why it's so important? Because people don't know, like if I could just reach through the microphone right now and just, if I could leave anything with anyone listening is, please trust me. I've been doing this work for the last 4 years and I don't mess around when I work with my clients. I tend to go there in quotes. I'll go right there. And that's a little disarming, but I do it with deep compassion, love, and total allowance for whatever wants to show up. The reason I do it is because I want you, I want my client to see that the very thing that they're afraid of, the very thing that on the surface that has sharp teeth and gnashing jaws and sharp claws and feels like it's coming out to kill them, and the feeling is actually, it feels like that, that it is out to get me, that I've been dogging it my whole life, like it trying to outrun it. I essentially hold the shoulders of this person and say, just be with me and it right now. And they're like, why would I do that? Like, what? They think I'm crazy. Like, why would anybody want to be with shame? Why would anyone want to be with remorse or regret or grief? Mm-hmm. Say, just trust me. Let's look at the surface of it. So sometimes it really needs some adult supervision, or some loving supervision to trust the process. And what I've learned, so I'll share a little story. Here's probably the best way to describe it. When I lost my first pregnancy, it was quite sad because we had just passed the 3-month mark. We just told everybody. I mean, you couldn't get into a more like, isn't this so cruel type place. We told everybody and the next day, and it was Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I mean, and it is about to be Mother's Day soon too, but and I miscarried the next day. And so that sent me into a spiral of, I mean, nothing sort of, it's such a unique experience for each person that goes through it. So I'm not going to say that mine is like everyone's, but for me, it had me question everything. It's a loss that's on the inside. It's a loss on the outside. It's like so many, it's such a spectrum to that loss. It's personal, deeply personal, because there's my body is involved. And so there's that connection. And then there's the lost dreams, the lost beliefs, the lost, you know, imaginings that you had. And it sent me down this spiral. I say it sort of kicked me off the cliff and I hit every branch on the way down. And at one point I felt so broken. I felt like, how can I just be in the world? Every time I go out, I see things and it's hard to be with the world. It's hard to be in the world and know that I have all this conflict in me. And I felt like there were three parts inside of me. There was this part that felt like a bully that was like, come on, it happened, it's over with, get on with it, come on, let's go. She's snapping her fingers, right?
Right.
Then there's this other part of me that was on the floor that could barely get her torso off the ground. I mean, she was so suffering and I called her the victim for lack of a better word. I just wasn't feeling super creative, but I was like, wow, she's really suffering and she feels very victim-y. And then there was this other part that was watching the whole thing going like playing the Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? can't we all just really wanting everyone to be okay. And feeling like wringing her hands, kind of like, oh my gosh, I wish we could all just get along. This is awful. What do we do? And we're at an impasse. Mm-hmm. So I think that story helps represent for a lot of people just different scenario. You switch out your scenario for mine, and there's maybe hopefully a thread of truth in that for you as well. I think we've all had those parts show up. And part of me intuitively just got so frustrated with feeling unsafe in the world. I felt like I couldn't go out without crying or losing my shit at seeing anything that was so insignificant in some way. But to me now, I can't be with a diaper commercial, or do you know what I mean? And then you just feel so like, oh God, so broken. So I said to myself, I don't know, I just intuitively grabbed a pen and got my computer out. And I just was like, this is it. I need to just let these parts talk. And so I sat down and I started with one, and I started with the observer because I thought she's the safest. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was the safest. And I just started watching her in my mind's eye. I just started kind of building a character for her. And she was wringing her hands, and I noticed she was very stressed out and she was upset. She actually had this really awesome heart. She was caring for both of them. She just wished that they could hear each other. She wished that we weren't in this place, and she paced. She was pacing back and forth. And so I just allowed myself to write and to write and to write. And I started to get a bit closer to her, what is it that she worries about? And I allowed her to kind of talk and express herself. The rules of the game were each part gets to talk. Each part gets to talk, but and without any interruption. So those were the rules that I had for myself. So I wasn't going to let the victim talk. I wasn't going to let the bully talk. The observer was talking. And she just expressed her position, how frustrated she was, how she didn't like seeing either of us and what she saw. So once that felt empty and complete, I had this really awesome depth to her that she was really all about consideration. She had this massive open heart. She was so caring and compassionate. Oh my goodness, that was really great to notice. So when that felt complete, I was like, okay, who do I go to next? So then I went over to the victim, because I felt a little more like, well, I could be with that, because the compassion was already there. And that was tough, because she was ranging from pathetic, so listless, like just hardly had breath in her lungs. And it was hard. There were a lot of tears when I was writing, because I could feel her and I could feel her suffering, and she explained it and she gave me words, and it was intense, but it was so important for me to witness her so fully. And she just shared from this pathetic place to the next minute, enraged. And then she would be banging her fists on the ground, like, why, you know, the whys. And I don't want to be here, but I am here. And I was willing to ride it out. Like, that was, I just stuck with her. And then what happened is as she expressed herself, I started to get more information. Like, in behind each piece that she shared with me, there was something new in behind it. And that was so curious to me. I just stayed with the curiosity of it, and it all kind of unfolded. And all of a sudden, she turned from a victim. She started as a victim to all of a sudden, she said something. And she said something like, I need to be here. No one, me being on the ground is telling the truth, is what she said. Mm-hmm. And that was so profound. And I was like, oh, tell it, sister. Like, you just kind of felt this immense, like, holy shit, excuse my language, but I do swear. And she's like, I was in awe of her willingness. I was absolutely in awe of her willingness to be the advocate for my own pain, the advocate for my experience lost, for the joy, you know, missed out on, for that it happened. She basically was a representation of this mattered, this happened, I matter, and damn it, if anyone dares try to get me out of this position, I will cut you. Like, she was so fierce. Mm-hmm. I felt this warrior energy, and all of a sudden she totally became a badass. Like, and it wouldn't have happened right away. Do you see, if I had just stayed with the victim element and I hadn't stayed with her, I never would have learned more about her.
Yeah, like if you tried to just be like shut that out.
Yes, if I had, and that's what I'd been doing.
Right.
I got all squeaky there on you. sorry. That
we hit a new octave. It's good.
Sorry. Whenever I go there, it means like I'm really like, I yeah. need you to know. It's intense, like,
yeah.
Oh, God,
that's
I love awesome. It. Please go there. Oh my God, that part of me, it's so funny. She really wants you to understand that I get excited, because what a gift for me to watch that transmute from a disempowering perspective of victimhood to total woman, warrior, badass, holy crap. Holy shit, I'm in the presence of greatness, mm-hmm. of greatness, of something very important. And the resonance was so big. And it was like, whew, wow. And then when she felt, I didn't leave her until she felt completely honored. So that's what I was doing. I was just honoring her. And then I moved. I was like, oh crap, I hope I find something similarly delightfully like surprising with the bully, because who wants to go with that energy? So I sort of complete, when it felt complete, I moved on. And then I went to the bully, And the bully was like pissed off, really aggressive, like, holy crap, annoyed, pacing as well, had kind of a pacing energy. Like, for Christ's sake, it was 3 weeks ago. Get off the floor. You know, you went back to work already. So that means, do you hear? Like, it was just so clamoring for, like, desperate. Mm-hmm. And so I was picking up on all these nuances, and I started, wow, she feels desperate. It's like she's this. It was almost like just developing the character, and she was, it was, yeah, anyway, you get the gist. So it went from desperate into, like, I started sensing the fear. And I was like, oh my God, she's afraid. Because only someone that desperate, only that someone that desperate to say the things she was saying that were so cruel and unfair, like asking the victim to get off the ground, it was so inappropriate. I was like, gosh, she's really pulling out all the stops, trying to be so convincing, trying to be so, pulling out these quote unquote truths. You know, yeah, you went back to work, so therefore, come on, you know, it means you're over it. Like, what? Madness. So I allowed her to be crazy, allowed her to just say all this madness, and I recorded it, and I just followed it. And then I sensed the fear, and I basically said, what is that? You know, tell me about that. And everything softened. Mm-hmm. And she said, I hate seeing you like this. And then I knew, and I was in. I mean, I can feel the emotion of it now. I mean, our bullies, our inner critics, this is the energy that they don't always let us see. Mm-hmm. Is she didn't want to see me there. And that was so touching to me. I get that it's got the words fear and all of that, but I never would have been able to get to the heart of it, that she loves me so much, she hates seeing me suffer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and so I got even more curious, and I just leaned in and sensed in just deeper. And I was like, what is it? Why are you so upset? Why are you being so aggressive? And it was just this, I can't stand it. And then I was like, and why? Why can't you stand it? And what came out was, I learned that she's so afraid of me being on the floor. She's like, I'm worried you're never going to get up. I'm worried you're going to stay there. I'm worried we're going to get lost. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what parts are you worried? And then she showed me, she was my enthusiasm. She was my possibility. She was my, my greatness. Mm-hmm. She was like my everything. She represented all the parts that I love. Like, I love my spontaneity. I love my confidence. I love all of that. And she represented it, but I wouldn't have known that. Like, but I had to, like, sense into it. It was like speaking a whole nother language. It was very strange. Mm-hmm. But listen to all the wisdom that was coming out and the doors that were being unlocked as we were just talking. And so all of a sudden, this asshole bully is transforming into a part of me that is an advocate for my greatness. Just misunderstood. Totally misunderstood. Almost like a fearful child that hates the way things are going and just wishes they could be different and denying what is and having a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, if that helps answer the question through that story, my wish is that people were more willing to be with their whole selves and allow. So what I ended up doing was creating a safe container for these three parts of me to coexist and not compete anymore. Because they weren't trying to compete with each other. I mean, on the surface they were, but once I was willing to be with each one of them and allow them to express themselves, there was so much more.
It sounds like there's like this level of like protection and tenderness within each of them.
Exactly. And this is why we don't do the deep, like it's a tough ask. I still to this day don't know how I was able to kind of do that.
Yeah. I'm actually like, I'm like, wow, that's so, it's pretty incredible that you were able to do that on your own and intuitively like be able to see like, okay, there's these three voices.
I was just so tired, frankly. I was desperate. I mean, the container of me was tired of feeling like I was at war. And so that's what was driving it. And you know, if I believe, I do definitely believe in being guided. And then I didn't. Back then I didn't believe any of that stuff. I wasn't super woo-woo back then. But that experience showed me that I was so much more than I ever thought. Does that make sense? And I really need to emphasize the word thought. Mm-hmm. Because there's such a distinction between the thinking voice and the feeling voice, the head and the body. And you really encourage people to get in their body. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the embodiment of your heart. And it doesn't talk the same language as your head. So the head gets all the attention because it's got the mic.
Yes.
Squealing again. So I'm getting all like...
No, this is like, it's so parallel to a lot of the stuff that we talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, and people say, well, how do I do that? And and guess who's talking?
The intellectual mind. Right?
Because it's saying, how do I do that?
Yeah, tell me.
It's not saying, how do I be? Yes. How do I be with that? It's saying, how do I do that? It wants to fix it. It wants to make it go away. It's like trying to figure it out. And it's hard to surrender into the beingness of being with our full selves and allowing crazy to be also with calm. Mm-hmm. Like to hold two very conflicting ideas within the same container and not making them wrong, but allowing them to be and almost, frankly, loving them no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So what's on the other side of this? I mean, so even in your experience, I mean, what came through after having allowed all of these pieces to speak?
Well, what happened was, I'm so glad you asked that in this particular story because I think it speaks for every single other time I've done it since then. And now I usually call in help. Like I have people like you and other coaches that I do lean on to help facilitate and just hold space for me to move through stuff. But what happened was, it was so fascinating because once I completed with the bully, once I was like, is there anything else? Is there anything else? And I just sensed into that she was done. What happened next was it was quiet. It was quiet for the first time in like months. Mm. Because even before that, when I was in the pregnancy, there was so much going on being challenged to me about identity and who I was and who I wasn't anymore and all this stuff. And so it was quiet and I could breathe. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a hot mess. Talk about bless the mess. It was a hot mess, that process. I was crying and writing and crying and writing and being with and honoring and also being in wonder of it all. But at the end was a deep breath that I could feel. Mm-hmm. And there was space in me. And so what's on the other side is those things. What happened was I ended up cleaning house. Not knowing I was cleaning house by just simply allowing them to be expressed. It's so fucking simple. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking simple. The mind doesn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So luckily I moved through that to experience it, to never unknow it again. Mm-hmm. So once you move through an experience like that and you see there's peace, like that blessed peace that we all want, right? Is there only our willingness to be with things and allow them to be fully expressed without making them clean. Because we're always wanting to sanitize these processes. You know, I lost my father a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been pretty open about my process. I don't really think I'm being all that open because I'm different now than I was back then. But people are calling me and writing me and saying, you know, you sharing your process so openly on Facebook or whatever it is. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm actually been holding back. You know, like if you think that is because they're just saying it's so helpful because we sanitize these times in our life. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to be sanitized. There's something so important about not only us being with our dark parts or our difficult, but then allowing other people to know about it. Mm-hmm. So there was an immense level of peace. There was all this space that showed up. And the space allowed for clarity. It allowed for wisdom to show up. It allowed for awarenesses to bubble up to the surface because I was willing to stick with it. So after, like, let's say someone listening to this is like, wow, I really want to do some of this exploration. Don't just always be willing at the end of that exploration to just always ask this one question, which is, what's here now? Mm-hmm. So simple is what's here now? And answer it. Like if it's peace, then acknowledge it. If it's awareness, what are you aware of? If something's different, what's different? Like don't just leave it. There's gold lying around all around you in every moment. You know, if we're really going to expand it, I mean, frankly, this is, it can go so far beyond. Just say, what's around me that I'm not noticing? Mm-hmm. So So it's an incredibly rich experience that, you know, I obviously get all fired up about, but there's so much to it. And it opens us up. The more willing we're willing to express it with ourselves first and with others, I just can't even tell you what's available in that. It's hard to describe because when I open up to you, you open up to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, or here's the other thing. I open up to someone and then I witness their willingness and where they're at. And then, so like my heart's been kind of ripped open recently with the loss of my father. And I'm noticing my willingness to open up is really big. It's obviously very big because I'm just a very open person now. And just honoring and having such compassion, not needing everybody to be at the same place as me. And just, it's like this wisdom of like, oh, okay, yeah. And we don't all have to be at the same place. We don't all have to do it the same way. How could we? We each have such unique experiences in our life, like how we're brought up, how we're parented, how we parent, life experiences, skills, all of that stuff. We're awesomely unique. And we do get to have a unique experience of these things called grief, loss, adversity, shame, whatever it is. So to be with each other, it's an awesome practice to pay attention, for goodness sakes. Yeah, it's just an opening, and when you open, other people open, and just magic happens, you know, without sounding too out there, but that's how I would describe it. Connection.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree with you more. I'm totally, like, I mean, this is still more new to me, because I was always the type of person that was like, no, like, just, you're strong, that's it. You figure it out. You move forward. Like, I was jumping over, and I mean, God, I could talk forever about why that is, but, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's what you said there was just so important, is that by sharing it, we just help others to see, like, they're not alone. We help others to tap into those pieces of themselves. And, that has been extremely powerful for me personally, especially over the last like year, I would say.
Like what you do is you model it. You're not doing it because you're better than them. This is where people that are coaches and healers, I think we get a little caught up, because I think there's something kind of sticky in there about modeling. So what I try to do is be myself, and as much as I can, and in the process I end up, this daring to suck thing that I do, a lot of it is being very vulnerable, being like open to connection. And to be open to connection, you have to, there's sort of an inside out work that needs to be done about being with our stuff, as you've heard, and then it has this ripple effect outward, and then you end up getting things back, this connection. But boy, are there some head games in there too about, about allowing people in, mm-hmm. about allowing people to see, and learning in the last few weeks, some people have held me in a position where I should know better. Mm, isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like to say, Summer, you can never have a bad body day. Like, and notice, like, within whoever's listening, to say, just because you end up having growth, there's always more growth. And okay, I mean, I have to say this. Is there something to this? So I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I need to say it. So one of my clients came forward after my dad died and said, I would love to offer you an experience. She has horses she does equine therapy.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of her. Yeah.
And actually, I think you're thinking of...
maybe so. Anyways, okay.
It's one of her students.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. And so... 6 months ago, I was holding space for her, to have her moment of like, of deep dive and being with. And I just started saying yes. I mean, radical receiving. The loss of my father has deepened my work. So Daring to Suck started as like, hey, I'm just going to do what comes up and what feels great. And I even notice my voice. It's like, woohoo, I'm just going to do something. It feels awesome. And I'm not going to care how it goes. I'm going to let go of the outcome. And that's still so valid. There's a spectrum within Daring to Suck. So it's gone from, that's how it started, to this, I want to live place. I want to live no matter what. And I want to get out of my own way. And I really just want to experience what it is to live fully and be fully expressed. To now, through this new loss, which has taken me so much deeper into my work, to take me to radical receiving, which was saying yes to everything. So this client showed up, and part of me, it was very, very tiny, but this tiny part said, well, that doesn't seem, that seems kind of messed up. Like, you were holding space for her 6 months ago. What does it mean for you to now be at her feet? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't even, like, and I didn't even want to, I just didn't entertain it. But it showed up. And I just felt so committed to, I don't know, but I'm going to see. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out. Mm-hmm. And there is something so, I mean, to the point where I was literally in her paddock with her horses, on my knees, in horseshit. I mean, like, in horseshit. My face was in, like, horseshit. I was crying, and the horses, it was fucking amazing, the magic that happened. These horses all came to me and helped. They were doing something to me. They were, like, working on me. It was crazy. And I was, you could have seen it as broken. You could have seen it as completely broken open at the foot of one of my clients. And there was something so incredible for me in that experience. And the words humbling don't cover it. The words humility don't cover it. It's like being so deeply connected to someone else, knowing all of the headiness of like, well, I'm supposed to have my shit together. And I also get to not have my shit together and to be loved no matter what by her and to witness that and experience that was, it's something that's like a, it's hard to take in, but it changes you when you do because it just expands you. So it's like, whoa, it's getting a little, I feel like we're out in the stratosphere right now. I'm like,
that's
like,
okay.
Face.
No. So, I mean, I want to go back to something you said, which was, you know, at the end of it, you're like, what's here now? But I feel like, I mean, is that a good place to start too?
Yes, exactly. And a lot of us don't want to because we're so afraid of what we might see or what we might learn. And I hear this a lot. And once I get, and I'm with a client and I sense into it, it's like the, what if it, quote unquote, what if it's true? Mm. And isn't that funny? We don't even know what the it is, but we know that there's an it out there or that's in us that we're worried about. Mm-hmm. We're worried about learning more about it mm-hmm. and that we think it will take us down or that it'll be true. Something about it will be true. Mm-hmm. And that is such a tender place to go. And I still hold strong. Trust that it's not what you think it is. At the surface, it looks, sounds, feels like the thing. But through the grace of curiosity, pure childlike curiosity plus willingness, that's an amazing combination to allow the grace of that process. And, you know, I was saying this the other day. People say grace. And what comes to mind is like a ballerina. I say, yeah, sure. That's grace for sure. I don't argue that. But have you ever seen a ballerina's feet?
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. Yes, yes.
They're a hot mess.
Yeah, they're pretty gnarly.
So, two conflicting ideas in the same package, right? Yeah. That there is something so graceful about it, and there's something so effing graceful about it. Like, mm-hmm. grace to me is like on my knees. When I think of grace, I'm like, oh, geez. Someone says, oh, I want more grace in my life, and I wanted to back away like they were going to get struck by lightning. Like, I'm like, whoa, do you know what you're asking for? Grace is a hot, beautiful mess, but it is beautiful. And it's really the tears streaming down your face when you are aware of truths that are true for a second mm-hmm. until they're not true. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm not saying. It's like being with something long enough to only learn that it's not really true. If you're looking for the innocence of it, that's actually what I would offer people listening is, always look for the innocent, because that's what I also did when I was, what I noticed when I was doing my own, that weird three-way that I had.
Yes.
Was, sorry, so wrong when I said that, but it's like the most unexpected.
So wrong, but so right. Something so great about that. But it was the innocence. You're dead on. Like that's,
look for the innocence.
That's what I do. Yeah. That's what I always push the women to do as well.
there's innocence in everything. But yeah. if you're unwilling to be with it, then you're being robbed.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to drop the mic there. It's like you're being robbed if you're unwilling to be with the innocence of it, because that innocence is so pure and it has such wisdom, and you're disregarding it. And then you're denying a part of yourself, which is so – there's nothing worse than being at conflict with yourself, because your insides will – your outsides start to match your insides.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we do get a little like, ooh, universal and all that stuff, but it's friggin' true. It's I've lived it too many times, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
So as we wrap things up here, I mean, we could go on forever, but I would love you to give the women something to do, something to just, like, and I know this is like the intellectual side, but
no, that's fine.
You know, in the other tutorials, I've called it a challenge, and so maybe it is a challenge. But what do you have? What do you want them to do?
Well, there's lots of ways to get in, you know, like there are lots of ways to go inside, and that's really what I'm asking. If there's anything to do, it's to consider that you're more than what you think you are. Mm-hmm. You're always more than what you think you are. And again, emphasizing on the word think. And so it's to be willing to play around with this element of being, being more with your parts, with these various characters. So, I mean, I just got off the call with a client and we noticed there were like three parts that showed up. There was like this people-pleasing part that wanted to really show up and serve for other people. There was another part that was like really adamant of like independent. And like I wanted, and so you can have a lot of fun with this by just it's almost like knowing who your crew is. You know, if we are, it's like you know this through your own you know training, right? That to be with your parts and to just I don't know, like my client's homework was almost like character development. How does she move? How does she talk? How does she swagger? What is her motto? What does she believe in? What does she stand for? And know that you can be these are aspects of yourself. They don't always help, but they don't always hurt. Do you understand? So it's almost there's almost like a lovely understanding that's available to us if we're willing to slow down and do that. Mm-hmm. So that's one kind of fun exercise, noticing these parts that show up. But otherwise, I mean, I sort of gave a good example about what I did for myself when I was feeling that conflicted. I just was like, fine, I'm just going to let you talk. And just, I journaled, I wrote. I type faster than I write, so I ended up typing a lot of it because I could keep up because the voices were coming in pretty fast. But don't be afraid to document how, like, what's showing up. So, you know, it can be as simple as 5 minutes a day just saying, what did I notice? So journaling doesn't have to be this long, awesome, like, Oprah type. You know, Oprah has, like, how many volumes of her journals? And it's like, you feel like there's this, has to be some eloquent storyline. Yeah. Do you understand? This is why people hate journaling.
I know.
And my journaling is sporadic.
I know.
It shows up when it needs to, but it could also be as simple as, you know, 5 minutes a day. What did I notice today? How did I feel? Doing a feelings journal, how to track how you felt and know that sometimes those feelings represent parts of you. So that's another way in.
Mm.
Do you understand? The shameful, right? The shameful one or the happy one, the joyful one, the playful one. Yes. So just put the word one after every feeling and just get to know how, you know, how she runs and maybe some of the thoughts that like the mottos are usually the beliefs that run them. So curiosity, you can never go wrong by getting to know yourself better. Bottom line.
It's like your squad.
Totally. Totally.
I never, the term crew, like, yeah. Never resonated with me. Squad. Squad just came into my head, and I was like,
"Yes,
my squad."
Yeah, or the SWAT team, right? It's like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're like characters of a play, frankly, to me as well. They're awesome. Some of them are just crazy. Some of them are sweet. Some of them are bitchy. Some of them are powerful, and it's really it's conscious living. So what you're really doing in getting more curious is becoming awake. You're waking up to who you are and noticing along the way if you make them right or wrong or good or bad, and just seeing how that works for you. I mean, how does that help? Because I could have just stayed there and made the victim wrong and made the bully wrong and just stayed in that cycle. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful to myself or whoever or whatever guided me to do that, because it is now such a fundamental piece in my work and my life, you know, like it's so supportive all the time. It never lets me down.
Yeah.
Ever. And if I can offer that to anyone, that is my life's work.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And so where can people find you? And I know you have some free stuff too.
Yeah. So you can find me at daringtosuck.ca, or if you want to be literal, carrieannlivingston.com. They both take you to the same place. Right now, when my dad passed, everything kind of blew up. I mean, again, bless the mess. It blew up beautifully. And I'm in a place of I'm in a very new place. So I was supposed to be doing this 8 days of daring challenge, and he died that week. So I had to sort of put that on hold awkwardly and basically email everybody and say, that's not happening right now. Awkward. But I'm going to be relaunching my 8 days of daring in June, probably the third week of June. Okay. Right now on my website, I mean, I haven't even updated my website to say anything. I mean, it's like, so heads up on that. Hopefully it'll be changed by the time you listen to this, that it'll be sometime in June. And what that is it takes you through the 8 steps of my daring to suck process, which is like slow down, tune in, speak up, dare to feel, and so on and so forth. And it's this really lighter version of it that gives you a sense of the process. So that's free, and that's going to happen in June. And so there's an opt-in on my website for that. And I would also, I'll also send you, Summer, a link to what I call a reality check, which is just a check-in point to get you started. I mean, frankly, it just offers you a wheel of various aspects of your life for you to be with. So in light of this call, you could sit down with this wheel. It's got things like career, health, relationships, and so on and so forth, and asks you to be with it. So, and then there's coaching questions. It's almost like an initial session with a coach. Mm-hmm. If you ever wanted to even try on what coaching is. It's like a tester kind of, and it's actually self-coaching. So you'd be self-coaching yourself. So I'll send you a link to that, Summer, that you can share with your people. So it's not something that's actually advertised on my website. So it's sort of kind of feels like this exclusive little thing.
I was just going to say exclusive.
exclusive. No one else gets access to it but you guys.
Okay, awesome. Yeah,
I just shared it. I've had it for a while, but I'm like, why am I holding on to this? This is silly. So that's also free. And, you know, if anyone listening feels like they're holding on to something that they're like, I need help with this. I need some adult loving supervision to make sure the inmates don't run the asylum. I offer a one-off deep dive call. It's 60 minutes where I send a questionnaire to sort of learn a little bit more. But really, we go in and we be with. And I basically teach you how to be with. Because sometimes it's so foreign to us how to do this work. Once you start getting the hint of it, you start getting the sense of it, it becomes a whole lot easier to do it on your own. So I don't want people to become dependent on me as a coach. I actually want to teach people how to do this. That's what I'm here to do. I want to hand it over, because we each have this awesome element available to us. It's just about understanding how the GPS works. It's like, you know, we never got a manual. So I kind of feel like I've got a little bit of a manual going, and I want to like offer it to people and say, you try it on and see how that feels. And so the deep dive call is basically almost like a lesson in that, and you end up hopefully clearing. It's a clearing session to clear out the gunk and create space and a sense of peace and unburdening. So I have a deep dive call that is a paid offering, but if I'm happy to offer, just let you know about that, basically.
Yeah. And yeah. You're amazing.
I feel like I need a cigarette, and I don't smoke.
Woo! You're amazing though. Like I love what you do. I love your work, and you're an incredible coach too. Just speaking from experience. So if the women are, your deep dive, like I feel like you're probably the only person that's mentioned a paid offering in a bonus tutorial, but I'm totally in support of that. So No, not at all. Awkward.
Well, there's something, and I guess what you're just reminding me of something that I want. So what I try to bring into this is joy, which is messed up. Someone once said to me, I can't believe we went there, like quote unquote there, and it was kind of fun. Like you made it kind of fun. Because that also is also what I've learned through my own process and my own work is that it doesn't have to be. That's why Daring to Suck, I love Daring to Suck because it's got this playful element. Mm-hmm. Because there is, you got to laugh a little bit. You got to find the ridiculousness. Yeah. We're talking about characters in a play. We're talking about parts and threesomes. All that, you have to find the humor or the weirdness of it because life is weird and it's ridiculous. So so that's kind of in the whole scene of that too. So I really want to make sure people don't feel the heaviness. That's the mind saying it's heavy and horrible. And I'm here to say, oh my God, there's so much more available. So thank you. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That's why that's another reason why I love you. So
thank you. I love you too. And I'm so excited to be a part of this. Anything I can support that you do, my goodness, call me.
Any final words for the women?
Just dare. Just don't be afraid. The thing that you know, the one thing that I've gotten out over the last few weeks is we have nothing to be afraid of. We really don't. And I shared that with you before we got started, Summer, is that there really is nothing to fear. There's only stuff to experience and be with. And we are so more than capable of doing it. And I believe that in myself and I believe it in you. Anyone listening, I hold that to be so true. And I'll hold it for you in the meantime if you're not feeling that way.
Thank you. Rock on, Carrie Ann.
Love you guys.